Hello and welcome to
the Horror Movie Gang Podcast. Sorry, I was really chirpy there at the end, wasn't I?
You sure were. How are you?
I'm all right. Got a bit of the cold back, but you know, just get on with it, don't you?
That's it. Emma, it is our 25th episode.
Oh, happy 25th anniversary, Andrew.
25th episode of new films, 25th episode of classic films.
Christ, that's a lot of films, isn't it? That's like 50 films.
25th episode of shite films.
Oh, there's plenty of those, isn't there?
Right, we have reviewed 46 films.
Yes, we have.
We have had 13 Hall of Fame inductees.
Wow.
And we have read 55 pieces of news.
Wow.
There you go.
Pretty good going. I mean, you know, well done us, really.
I know people have tuned in late. People might have only just started on today's episode. I don't know if you can remember, months ago, I put a post up on Facebook, didn't I?
Yes.
Saying, would anyone be interested in a podcast? Because it's something I've always wanted to do. I've listened to others and gone, oh, do you know what? I reckon I can do better than them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're the best, but do you know what I mean?
We're not the worst.
But exactly, there's some you listen to, and they just drone on and on.
Oh, God, yeah. Really monotone, really vanilla.
So our film this week was The Exorcist 3. So I listened to a couple of podcasts, and there was one, and it was on for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, that's been too long.
And yeah, they had some really good points, but I reckon we can say the same good points like we do in 10 minutes when we review a film.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you need to. I think, you know, people have an attention span at the end of the day, and like me, they'd get bored after a while.
Yeah. And they talk about every scene and they analyse every scene. And that's okay for some people.
It's okay, but do you have to? Because people are going to watch it.
No.
You don't need to dissect it bit by bit, do you?
Yes, well, I always felt like I wanted to do a podcast. And I can remember, I think you were the first person to... I think you put something like, I'd do it, but I'm not sure I'm an expert or something like that.
Oh, and I still stand by that claim. I'm not an expert.
But that's... They're the people we want, isn't it? Podcast.
Hell,
we want people who love it.
I just love horror. I love talking, and it's weird because I saw your advert. And to be honest, I don't listen to. I never used to listen to podcasts or anything, so I didn't really know how they worked. But I thought, you know what? I just want to talk about horror.
Yeah.
And I'm a female. I can talk.
And do you know what? I still enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. It's good fun, isn't it?
I hope people who tune into the podcast can tell that we actually do love our films. And
I think I enjoy it more when we get stinker as well, though.
Yeah, definitely. And I love at the end of the podcast when we talk about new films because I know what I'm doing for that week.
Exactly. It's kind of set you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I look forward to it.
But like with me, you know, I'd never have watched Evil Dead by now if it wasn't for you putting it in there. So it's kind of opened up my whole, you know, biased love of horror a little bit more.
An alternative look at it is I would never have watched Aftermath.
Yeah, I've kind of regressed that. That's blocked away the trauma of that film. Let's not talk about that one.
So I want to take you back to the first podcast now. Can you remember how you felt?
I was shitting myself. Yeah. I'm so nervous because it's weird because I've never even spoke to you before. I knew absolutely nothing about you. You were just some strange man at the end of my phone. And I hate talking to people on the phone anyway.
And I've actually put that in my notes, like at the start of the podcast, we were strangers and I'd like to think we're not now, we're friends now.
Oh, completely friends.
And we had to pretend on episode one that we had this chemistry.
But the thing is as well, it's not like we even took 10 minutes to have a quick chat before the podcast. No, we just went straight in, blindfolded, didn't we?
We actually didn't. Yeah, we did.
Oh, that
was
mad.
We had like a 2-minute chat before and then go, oh my God, this could be fucking dreadful.
I mean, I could have been a complete weirdo for all you know. I mean, I am a little bit, but
I think that's fine.
Love it.
Yeah, but it's brilliant.
Oh, I think we get better each one. Yeah.
We do, it's good. So I thought, why it's our 25th, we will talk about, well, our aim of the podcast is, and sometimes we do forget to actually say it on the podcast.
Yeah, we get carried away chatting shit, don't we?
After every film, we score it out of 10, and our aim is to have like a league table of films. Now, I sent you the full league table yesterday of every film we reviewed.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me. It's an interesting one.
There's some I actually look at and go, oh God, that's quite embarrassing.
Yeah, but I think they're the ones we went in quite quick at the beginning of the podcast and we just went, 8.
Yeah.
And now we know what we're doing a little bit. We've got flow going.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in all fairness, there's actually only a couple that would actually go, ooh.
I've looked through it and there's three that stand out to me and I go, no, that's wrong.
So, I've got a proposal for you.
Okay, go on.
We are both allowed to increase the one film by 0.5.
Only one film?
Each. But we are also allowed to knock off 0.5 on one film.
Oh, Christ.
If you wish.
Sophie's choice.
You know, you might not want to. You might not want to. You might just think, no, they're perfect.
Oh, God.
So go on. I'll let you read from the bottom to the top our films.
All the way from the bottom to the top.
All the way. Go on.
Oh, Christ. Settle down, gang. Put your feet up. Listen to this. So, quite rightly, in final place, you've got Aftermath with 1.1, followed by Crawl with 3.5, VHS 94 with 3.5.
Ridiculous that, by the way.
What, the film or the score?
The score.
No, you're far wrong. Better the film's that. An absolute tragedy. And followed by another tragedy, The Amusement Park at 3.6.
Again.
Quite rightly at the bottom. Cry Wolf at 3.9.
Yep, agree.
Halloween H2O, 3.9.
Oh, I think we were harsh, you know.
I think we're harsh there, because you've got Halloween H2O on the same path as Cry Wolf.
Yeah. And that's... I sent you that yesterday and thought, you know what? It wasn't a great film, but it's better than that.
It's better than Cry Wolf.
Yeah.
Now, would you put it there? Then comes the question, do you put Halloween H2O up or take Cry Wolf down?
Well,
that'll be one we have to think about.
I've made a note of them two films. It could be them.
Could be them. Okay. Then we go to Spiral at bang on 4.
Yeah.
Psycho Goreman, 4.6.
Fucking ridiculous. And you know what? That's
yeah, I know. It's fucking ridiculous because it should be lower.
Film of the year.
Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin at 5.1.
Yeah. Agreed.
Wrong Turn, the new one, 5.1.
Yeah, can't remember a thing about that one.
No, The Deep House at 5.2.
Yeah,
Leprechaun, 5.2 as well. So it's on track with The Deep House.
Again, I enjoyed that more.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a little bit of room for manoeuvre there, isn't there? Conjuring 3 at 6.
Our first ever film.
Now, if you can remember back, I didn't watch it, did I?
No, you didn't actually.
Watched it 2 days ago.
Let's add your score. We won't include this in your little up or downer.
Okay, so I would actually think it's above 6. I really enjoyed it. I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
It was good.
Make a note of that.
We can change that. It might change it a little bit. And then we've got Malignant.
I'll just stop you there for a second.
Oh, go on. Right,
so it was our first film, Conjuring, and you didn't watch it. And we stuck with you, Emma. Just remember that.
Christ. Oh, yeah, I didn't watch it. I had time. To be fair, I have watched everyone since. It was just, I didn't get off to a very good start there, did I?
I think it was right in the middle of the pandemic as well, wasn't it?
And it was, yeah.
It was hard to get out. I know I was nervous.
Yeah. I'll say that's what it is.
Sure.
Then we go to Malignant, 6.2. That was quite a good discussion. I remember that one.
We were quite torn,
weren't we?
Yeah.
I Know What You Did Last Summer then hits 6.4.
Yeah.
Right. This one, my next one, is a joke. It needs to be higher. The Gate, 6.9.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, but I'm quite passionate
about
that film. Do you know
what? If we both add our 0.5 on, that could shoot up a little bit. That's a thought,
yeah.
I brought that one down as well.
And then we've got the new Candyman, which comes in at 6.5.
Yeah, it's about right.
Don't Breathe at 6. Oh, Don't Breathe 2 at 6.5.
Yeah.
Halloween Kills, 7.1. Joke.
I know what your film's going to be.
Absolute travesty. That makes me angry just looking at it down there.
If you put it up 0.5, I'm putting it down 0.5.
You can't do that.
Oh, I sure can.
I will never speak to you again. Oh, okay. Let's see what we do with that one. Then you go to Night Books, which is 7.1 as well. Night
Books, kind of fun.
Same as Halloween Kills, really?
I know.
Bubba Hotep tips that at 7.2. Then you've got host at 7.4. Right, which one was host? I can't even remember.
Host was the one set during the pandemic, and it was on a meeting, Zoom meeting.
That was a cracker. I remember.
Yeah, it was all right. Quite scary.
Yeah, that was all right. And then you've got The Ring, the new one, at 7.4 as well.
Yeah.
Slacks, can you remember that treat?
Fantastic.
Also at 7.4. And then going up a little bit, 7.6, we've got Blood Red Sky, the Netflix vampire flick.
Yeah, it was dull.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? It's probably it could a little go down bit that too. One. That one probably should go down. A Quiet Place 2 at the same, 7.6.
Yeah, that was quite fun.
It was okay. When a Stranger Calls at 7.8.
Yep.
You agreeing with that one?
Yeah, it was good.
Summer of 84, 7.8 also.
Love that film.
That was a cracker, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
It was different. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a direct horror. Had elements of it, but
It'd be interesting to see if out of all our brand new films that reviewed, because we do a classic and a new, is that the best one?
Yeah.
I know you're going to say Halloween Kills, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am.
But I love that one. But it was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And then you've got the classic Pan's Labyrinth at 8.3. We're getting into the high scores now.
Yeah.
Fear Street Trilogy, 8.4.
Yeah.
Big fan of those.
Maybe a bit too high, that.
Bit too high for you?
Yeah. I think you and Charlie scored it a 9 and I went
I think we
8.
Went a bit nuts. We got a bit excited, didn't we? I'd had too much sugar that morning.
Definitely.
Then you've got the classic amazing film, Halloween 2018 at 8.5 as well.
Yeah.
Could probably be a bit higher, that one, really. Looking at it.
Yeah.
I love it. Trick or Treat at 8.8.
Classic.
Amazing. And the classic Evil Dead at 8.8 as well.
Yeah, Evil Dead, yeah.
Halloween, 8.8. The now, original, this is... the OG, 1979.
This is the one I keep looking
1978,
at.
1978, sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I think I looked at it and I looked at the couple of films that are just above it. And I'm thinking, do you know what?
It needs a bit of a bumper, doesn't it? It just doesn't sit right with me looking that there. I mean, it is a classic, the one above it. You've also got, nipping in at 8.9, you've got Evil Dead 3.
Yeah.
But is Halloween better than Evil Dead 3?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. That was early on, though, wasn't it, in the podcast?
Yeah.
We were probably drunk or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
And then on the same track as Evil Dead 3 with 8.9, you've got Child's Play 2.
Love it. But again, Halloween's a better film, isn't it?
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 with a nice 9.
Yeah. So are we in the top 4 or 5 now?
No, you've got your so Elm Street 3 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th.
Okay.
So coming in at number 6, you've got Evil Dead 2 with 9.1.
Fair.
Fifth place, Lost Boys, 9.2.
Seems a bit high, that.
I mean, it is a banger of a film. Got Kiefer Sutherland in. That's a good 2 points on its own.
I think the problem is sometimes, right? So sometimes I watch the films like a couple of hours before the podcast or the day before.
I'm still
on a high.
Still buzzing from it, aren't you? You're like, that's an amazing film. And then 2 days later, you're like, it was all right. So in fourth place is the OG Nightmare on Elm Street with 9.3.
Yep.
Can't argue with that. This is where it gets tricky. Third place, The Exorcist, 9.3 also. So they're kind of on, The Exorcist and Nightmare on Elm Street are on the same, they're both in third place really, aren't they?
Yeah. Exorcist is a better film, sorry.
Out of the two, yeah, probably is. I don't know. Depends what mood I'm in.
Yeah,
it definitely. Really does. But in second place with 9.4, we have the original 1992 Candyman.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
You got excited, didn't you?
I got very excited.
But it is an amazing film.
It is.
I mean, you've got hooks
but
and bees and everything going on.
Is it the second best horror film of all time? Is it the second best?
No.
Is it better than The Exorcist? Is it better than Halloween?
No.
Is it better than Nightmare on Elm Street?
No. You had a lot of sugar that morning. It's fine. Really did. You had some honey or something.
I scored it a 10.
Did you?
I did, yeah. It's my only 10 so far.
So the one in first place, I also scored a 10, but I stand by it still. So it came in on an average of 9.8, and our number one spot is The Shining.
I'm not arguing.
I'm standing by it. Yeah, I am standing by it.
I've not got any debate about that.
That's good.
First, before we swap things around a little bit.
Okay.
Are there any films there that we've not done yet you think, oh, God, they could challenge for that top 10? Because there's still loads left.
What, as in all-time classic? Could An American Werewolf in London?
We've got that, haven't we?
That's got to be in the top. Jaws?
Jaws. There's The Fog.
The Fog is an amazing film. The Thing?
The Thing, yeah. I'm not saying Friday the 13th will challenge, but we're yet to do a Friday the 13th film.
I think the two films that will challenge the top spot are The Thing and Jaws.
Yes.
I do think there's going to be a bit of a debate there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, Jaws is... I mean, our films that we're doing next week...
Yes.
Could as well.
Very, very possibly,
but,
you know.
But then the argument is it horror?
Ah, yes.
Or are we just doing it as a special episode? We'll talk about that.
We'll
a bit
have
later
a chat
on.
About that later on, definitely.
Yeah, but there's still loads of tripe as well. I was looking at all our streaming services the other day, like Shudder, and oh my God, there's so many 80s.
So much out there still to do, isn't there?
Shite out.
Oh, we'll get through it. We will get through it.
Okay, so I've got up here, I also have a full list of films here.
Okay.
I'm just going to have a look. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first?
So, I can put one up and one down, is that right?
One up and one down by 0.5.
You're going to hate me. I'm going to put Candyman down by 0.5.
Okay, that's fine.
You were on high in sugar, I'll let you off.
I was also going to do the same, but I might not now.
Because I've gone in there first. And can I put a film up?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, so it's really hard because it is between Halloween Kills and The Gate. I'm going to put The Gate up.
So The Gate is going up by 0.5?
Yes, it has to. It's an absolute classic. It's too low down.
Okay. I'm also... Oh, do I put Candyman down as well?
It's so hard, isn't it? Sophie's choice.
I'm going to put Child's Play 2 down.
Oh.
0.5.
Okay.
And up, I'm going to put Halloween.
Yeah. I thought you'd go for that one. That's why I went for The Gate.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Because if I think, yeah.
Yeah, because if we'd have both said Halloween, it'd be 9.8 with the top film.
Exactly.
There you go.
I think
our list is good.
I think it's good.
And I think we do this every 25th episode.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
Still all change.
In a few years from now, it'll just be me talking for 10 hours going through a long list.
I'll take it in turns next time. Don't worry.
Sounds good.
But if we do that, the amusement park can actually get up to 9.9. We keep going.
Over my dead body.
It might take 25 years, but
not
we'll
happening.
Do it. We'll do
I'll
it.
Just keep putting it down every week.
Yeah, definitely. Is a film that won't be in the top 10. Slumber House Massacre Party.
Slumber Party Massacre.
There you go. There you go.
It's time to start the slumber party.
Stay inside. Stay quiet. Stay safe.
Hello?
Right.
Yeah.
So you've not said a single word about this to me on message, and I've gone, yeah, it's a bit wacky.
So weirdly, I didn't watch it till last night because I've been a bit busy this year. That's probably why I didn't say anything. So I put this on last night and I had it on my iPad actually, and I was sat there on my headphones. My other half just kept peeking over my head going, what the fuck are you watching?
You need to watch the 80s one. You'll be peeking over your head every 2 seconds.
Right. I'm going to say one little observation straight off. The 1980s poster compared to the new poster. Have you looked on both?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little run through. 1980s poster. You've got basically a pile, and I mean a pile, of scantily clad women in very little lingerie. One of them's got her mouth open, and then there's a man stood over, legs akimbo, with a big phallic-shaped drill dropped down between them.
Emma, there's a tit out every 2 minutes.
I knew that was going to be my question. Is it basically a nipple fest all through the fucking film?
Every 2 minutes. And I must admit, 45 minutes, I've turned it off. I've not watched it all yet. But yeah, it's... Oh, man, it's bad.
I can tell just by looking at the poster what kind of film it is. However... Moving forward to 2021, have you looked at the poster for this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's completely different. Very, very covered up girls looking badass, all with weapons slung over their shoulders.
Which was pretty much the theme of the film, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the directors looked at this one and went, oh no, I'm a woman, feminist power or whatever. No,
it was all done on purpose. There was loads of jokes in this film that led to that. So it's about two camps. There's a male camp and a female camp.
Yep.
And the lead character is returning because her mum was traumatised younger on when she was young by Russ Vaughn.
Yes.
Who was a killer who had a drill.
He was an interesting chap with his little one-liners. I love you.
So, so bad. So there's rumours out that he's back. So the girls all go out and they dress up exactly the same.
Yep.
As the predecessors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tightly scanned. They had bra panties on, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a male camp who like pillow fights.
Oh,
long showers.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So this is obviously a complete parody of the first one, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's very funny. The first one, I haven't actually watched it. Is that actually serious?
Yeah,
to be serious.
It's the same killer.
Yeah.
It's Russ Vaughn. And yeah, he's just attacking women who are having pillow fights.
And squealing a lot and jumping off the bed.
Yeah. Slow motion. There's a scene in the original where there's a lady having a shower and it must go on for 5 minutes.
And it's probably completely unnecessary.
Unnecessary. It was uncomfortable. There was close-ups.
Oh, God.
But they do the same in this with the males on. There's a scene where there's a man having a shower. And I thought it was quite clever.
It is quite clever. I like how they've done this kind of... They've modernised it completely, haven't they, then?
Really tongue-in-cheek. There was a scene where there was a murder and there was blood that went into the girl's mouth. Did you see that?
Oh,
that was disgusting.
I mean, it was gory. It was a good gore fest. I mean, you know, straight away, the thought of a drill just...
Yeah. But yeah, it was a piss take. A lot of 80s horror films, all the women are pathetic, aren't they?
Oh, they're all pathetic,
If they hear a noise, they run upstairs.
And the clothes fall off on the way. And there goes my bar.
Where in this one, they've all got weapons. They're all prepared.
They're kind of badass, aren't they?
Yeah. And then it takes the piss out of the men. I think at one point, there was a guy who has an electric guitar.
Yes.
There's a weapon. Really good.
Yeah, I liked that bit. It was fun. It was tongue-in-cheek. I liked the gore, you know. And it was kind of cringeworthy, especially with the nails. Remember the nail that went into that girl's eye?
Yeah.
There's
quite a few scenes that were graphic.
That just makes me feel ill right there.
So eventually, he's dead, the killer, isn't he? They do actually kill him.
They stab
him multiple times.
Oh, they do get a bit carried away, don't they?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's dead, come on.
And then his mum comes, which I think is a bit of an homage to Friday the 13th.
That is literally what I've got written down on my notes in front of me. I just got Friday the 13th equals mother on my notes. Yeah, it's definitely a homage to
it's
that.
It's all a piss take.
It is.
I didn't expect it. I was expecting a proper horror film. Not what we got.
Well, this is it. I didn't even do any reading or anything about it. I kind of went in blindfolded, just thought, do you know what? Let's just go for it and put it on. And it was all right.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it. I can't remember the original.
Yeah.
But I did put it on because I was just interested to see if it is the same killer. And it is.
Yeah.
Same killer. Yeah. He hardly speaks in it and he has got a bit of a squeaky voice.
I thought it was good. Like, do you know what? Sometimes you just don't want a really deep horror film with loads of angles and meanings. Sometimes you just want a bloke with a drill.
I like a fun horror film.
It's fun. You don't have to really think about it. It's gory. It's graphic. Yeah.
I don't think there's an awful lot to say about this one.
Not really. Apart from the fact that it is fun.
Yeah, it's worth a watch.
I think it's worth a watch, definitely.
It will be breaking into our top 10.
No, I can't see it doing that. And I won't be in a rush to watch it again, to be honest. But it is what it is. And it's not a bad film. I think it does what it sets out to do.
I've read a few of the reviews and they are getting all right reviews. They're all right.
Yeah, it's not getting dissed at all, really.
Seems to be straight down the middle. Like Absolutely. A three-starer or, you know, a five. Yeah, so not bad. Not bad.
It's all right. It's worth a watch on a Sunday night if you've got no else better to do and you just fancy a giggle.
That's it. So yeah. How are you scoring it?
I am actually going to go straight down the middle. I'm going to cut it in half. Bam, five, done.
Five?
Yeah, okay. Five.
I'll go a bit higher, 5.2.
5.2, it seems fair.
Okay.
Okay.
So there you go. I think that was our quickest ever movie review, but there's not a lot to say. It was just a short film as well, wasn't it?
It is short.
80 minutes, was it?
Yeah, it's short. It's simplistic. It's to the point. It's, you know, a modernisation of a film I've never heard of, yeah. To be honest, but it was fun.
But if you're into your blood and gore, it's all there.
Who doesn't love a bit of blood and gore now and again?
It's there. You just have to really seek it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, news time.
Okay. Do-do-do.
Okay. Mine's really boring because I thought it was a really, really quiet week.
I struggled. I come up with like two small stories instead of one big one.
Yeah, so...
Kind of, yeah.
Mine's basically, I'm going to the cinema tomorrow to watch Ghostbusters Afterlife and I can't wait.
That's a great story.
Are you excited?
Yes, completely. I saw the trailer was on during the Halloween Kills when I went to see that and I was sat there... With my popcorn going, oh my God, that looks so good. I take it you're a big fan of the Ghostbusters franchise.
Massive.
Maybe it isn't. Massive. It's great, isn't it?
I think, I'm not sure, it's my favourite film of all time.
Ooh, big statement.
So I've always said for years that my favourite film of all time is The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
But then if you really think about it, what are you likely to watch now if you're bored? Shawshank Redemption or the Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And sometimes you just have to... You sound pretentious when you say, oh, I love The Godfather Part 2. You don't, do you?
You don't.
It's a good film, but you don't stick it on like you do with Nightmare on Elm Street or The Lost Boys.
This is it,
Ghostbusters.
I've always said that my favourite film of all time is The Shining, but it's not a film I watch often because you have to be in the right headspace for it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I understand it's a classic, it's brilliant, but then I want to put Neverending Story on the TV and just have a bit of a good time with that. So, yeah, completely. I mean, it depends what kind of mood you're in, doesn't it, really?
It does, but I never, ever get bored of Ghostbusters. And then I think of the history of Ghostbusters. God, I've loved it since I was... God, eight maybe?
I remember the first time I watched it. I remember. Yeah. Well,
I remember the cartoon. I remember all the games I had on the NES and the Mega Drive. It was like, it's been a huge part of my life.
It has, completely.
All my life.
Yeah. I think, what year did it come out? Was it 1985, somewhere around there? Or was it a bit later?
84.
So I'd have been five. So I actually remember my mum buying me, you know, the old cassette recorders, the portable ones that you used to pick up by handle. Yeah, she bought me the book and the tape combo. And I remember sitting at my nan's listening to that, and that even scared me. Yes. Never mind the woman in it. We'll go into this probably another day, but...
Well, I don't know if you had any of the stories as well. There used to be like the cartoon in like a blue hard book. There used to be loads of them.
I had an annual. I remember having an annual.
Yeah, I had an annual.
I think that was the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon one, wasn't it?
Anyway, we'll have a big chat about Ghostbusters next week.
Oh, yeah, we will.
We have got a bumper episode next week.
Can't wait.
My God, it's going to take... It could be a 2-hour...
That's
fine. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Yeah, so
okay.
just... It's Ghostbusters Afterlife tomorrow. That's my news.
Oh, that's really good news.
Looking forward to it.
Well, let me know how you get on. Let me know what you think. Oh, God, I hope you like it.
I will
it.
Do. Oh, I, so do I. Oh, imagine if it's shit.
Oh, don't. I'll cry.
Anyway.
Okay, so my news. Can you remember when I told you about the house on Elm Street that is currently up for sale for $3.2 million?
Yeah, you've not bought it, have you?
No, unfortunately, I was waiting for you to transfer the money. You never did. Oh, I've had to drop out of the sale, so basically it's all your fault. Anyway, I was having a little read this morning, and there's some analysis has been done by the Yorkshire Building Society. And did you know, if you sell a house in the UK on Elm Street, because there's quite a few Elm Streets in the UK, yeah, you can expect on average 42% less of the asking price because people are scared to live on Elm Street.
Seriously?
Seriously. So in some areas, it's as much as 70% off the asking price in the same postcode just because it's called Elm Street.
That's massive. I'd be actively seeking out on Elm Street.
Well, as you know, I'm currently buying a house and just waiting for the sale to go through. I'm now pissed off I didn't try and find a house on Elm Street. I'd love to live on Elm Street.
I didn't know that. I mean, I've heard of certain rules in America where if, because they're obviously a bit crazier than us, if your house is haunted, you've got to declare it. Or if someone has died, you've got to declare it.
But yeah, they've been doing these polls and 7 out of 10 people don't mind the idea of living on Elm Street, but 3 out of 10 people adamantly won't live on a street called Elm Street in case Freddy gets them. It's nuts. I just thought that was quite a nice little bit of information to share with you there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I'd love it. I'd live on Elm Street, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Do you imagine Halloween?
I will for that price.
Great times.
I bet you get loads of kids, though, outside the sign.
I would literally have Freddy on the front lawn and everything for Halloween. Yeah.
That's okay, though. Don't mind that.
No, it was all right.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame this week.
Oh, yes, Hall of Fame.
You are on a roll.
I am on a roll. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do about this whole thing.
You're not happy about it, are you?
No, not a lot of people voted again. And it's because it's an old tweet. We need to put it on your Facebook page and Instagram and we need to...
Yes.
Because you keep winning now.
Yes, I know, and I'm loving it.
It's not sitting right with me.
Oh, are you a sore loser by any chance?
No. Can you tell?
Yeah, a little bit. Now I know how I felt for the last God knows how many weeks.
The last 12 weeks. Oh. Two in a row, Emma, well done. So you won with 67% and yours was...
mine was a stop animation.
Stop motion, yeah.
Now I'm a little bit torn here because I love the Dokken song from A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, which is what you picked. So it's kind of tinged with sadness, my glory.
Yeah, but I can take it. I can take it if you want to swap the scores.
No, I don't. I won't go that far.
Okay. So you got 67%, and my Dream Warriors song got 33%. So you can go first this week.
Okay. So staying on theme as I do every week, we're going to be talking about The Exorcist 3. So my entry into this week's Hall of Fame is Pazuzu, the demon from The Exorcist.
Fantastic, yeah, great.
And if anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, I found this great little description on Google. He's the body of a man, the head of a lion or a dog, evil-like, taloned feet, 2 pairs of wings, a scorpion's tail, and a serpentine penis. He sounds like he's having a great time, doesn't he?
Yes, he's hell of a life.
Absolutely.
I had a friend in high school. Obviously, he didn't have it in high school, but he's now got a tattoo of that.
Oh, really? That's kind of cool.
On his back, yeah. Yeah, well, there you go.
Interesting talking point if nobody knows who it is.
I know. Excellent. Yeah, great choice.
Oh, what are you going for?
I'm also staying on theme. I'm going for Brad's Gemini Killer.
Ah, yes.
God, he was scary, wasn't he?
So good.
Oh, The Exorcist 3. Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
But all I kept hearing was Chucky.
See, I didn't get that. I really thought I would. I thought, because I know you says obviously, like, you know, it's Brad Dourif, and I sat there going, "Oh, here we go." But no, I completely disconnected him from Chucky. I don't know how I managed to do it.
I think early on you could hear a lot of Chucky, but then they put like a louder voice on him, didn't they?
And yeah, they kind of distorted his voice a little bit, didn't they? Yeah. But, yeah, so creepy.
But God, yeah, he was good. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second.
Yes, so there we will.
Okay. Hall of Fame choices this week.
Vote Pazuzu. Hashtag vote Pazuzu.
Yeah, we need to sort that Hall of Fame out.
Yeah, we
not happy about that.
No. We'll see.
So, Exorcist 3.
Oh, my God.
17 years ago, an extraordinary motion picture touched our most profound, nameless fears. Do you dare walk these steps again? Death, be not proud, nor canst thou kill me. Satan grows stronger.
You believe in possession, Father?
He has found a haven.
Come to take a little blood from you, Father.
He has taken possession.
The boy had been crucified.
Now.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to talk about the history of the Exorcist 3.
Okay, you go.
Not so much history, but how I perceive it. I remember in high school, it was the first film was, you couldn't buy it anywhere, it was banned.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, so I lent a dodgy copy, but I think I watched The Exorcist 3 first because I saw it in a car boot, and it was a large VHS tape. I don't know if you can remember then. They were slightly bigger, you know, ex-rental tapes.
God, yeah, they were like bricks, weren't they?
So I picked that up and I watched it. So imagine I was about 16, 17. Yeah. I've heard about this Exorcist being the scariest film of all time. So part three must be three times better.
Oh, God, yeah.
Three times scarier. I put it on. Oh, my God, I was bored to tears.
Really?
Just bored, thinking, oh, nothing's happening. It's too much talking.
Yeah, that's a reflection of age.
Definitely. Yeah. But then I think I watched it 10 years later. Oh, I just fell in love with it.
It's special.
It is. And I think I enjoy it more because not a lot of people have heard of it. Of course, they've heard of it, but it's been wrote off, hasn't it?
I think it's hard. I mean, it's gone up against The Exorcist. So The Exorcist on its own, it's standalone, it's monumental, it's an all-time great classic.
Yeah.
You put a three on the end of something, it kind of puts people off watching it. You know,
people look at it and go,
you get a good part three, isn't it?
Yeah.
People, I mean, not at it and go, three was good, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But people look at it and go, there's no Linda Blair. There's no girl. I'm not watching that.
I'm not
crap.
Watching that then. No, exactly.
George C. Scott. He's an old man.
Oh, but he's so good. But yeah, so I watched this like years and years ago, and it was a hooky £1 DVD copy that my friend gave me. You know, the old one with the photocopied cover in a little plastic sleeve.
I had a man who did that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably watched about half an hour of it. I think it was some drunk person sat in a cinema actually filming it. And thankfully, when I started watching it the other day, I could not remember anything from it. Nothing came back to me. So it felt like I was watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, let's see what this is about. I can honestly say it blew me away to the point I was thinking about it for the rest of the day.
It's such a surprise, isn't it? I was going to say, actually, yeah, that it's something I've been thinking about.
Yeah, after it stays with you.
And I've seen it quite a lot, but a few days later, I'm thinking, oh, Christ.
Yeah, it actually has that impact. I mean, you've got like, I remember you messaged me and went, it's got one of the best jump scares in films ever.
Well, let's talk about that jump scare.
Oh, yeah. Shall we?
So it's built up so a lot of the film is really slow paced. Now, normally me and you would be slagging off a slow paced film.
Okay, yeah.
But my God, this is just done to perfection, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good.
So the jump scene, it's a nurse. She's on a desk. She's walking somewhere else. She's going back to her desk.
Yeah, not a lot's going on.
It goes on for ages. She hears a noise. she goes to one of the rooms, which is a bit of a jump scare in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I think there's a patient in the bed and he jumps up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
So go on. How did you feel for the first time you've seen that?
Oh, God. Well, the thing is, I was actually in the bath. I had a great big bubble bath going. I had my iPad perched on the edge of the bath, which is a little bit silly, really. And I was just sat there watching it. And I remember thinking, am I missing something? Am I meant to be seeing something in the background? This is going on for a long time and nothing's happening. She walks off into a room. She walks back out the room. And, oh, my fucking God, there's a man behind her about to chop her head off.
With a giant pair of scissors, the largest pair of scissors you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, but it's the intense impact of the music while he comes out and how quick he comes out. It literally comes from nowhere. And I nearly kicked my bloody iPad into the toilet.
You nearly lost your iPad, did you?
Christ, I shit myself. It was brilliant.
And again, which is a theme of this happens throughout the film, you don't see anything.
You don't, no.
There's no blood. She's about to chop his head off, but it cuts away.
It doesn't need it, does it? It's literally him. I don't know. It's such a powerful scene. I can't even describe it. The way he's just walking full pace behind her with these shears open. Terrifying.
So I wanted to talk about the start of the film, and it's just two people in the cinema.
Yep.
And then having tea. It's the cop from the first film. He's Obviously, the cop in the first one, he died when The Exorcist 3 was brought out. So they recast this excellent George C. Scott.
Oh, now, I don't know about you, I spent probably 50% of this film going, where have I seen this guy before? Because he's got such a familiar presence on screen. And I actually Googled it. He was Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yes, in the 80s version of A Christmas Carol, which I had to watch every year when I was young.
So many say it's the greatest.
Mm.
It's the greatest version of Scrooge. Well,
you're
going to say Michael Caine, aren't you?
The Muppets Christmas Carol is completely epic.
That's what Charles Dickens wanted, was the Muppets telling the story.
Jim Henson to take that over completely.
Absolutely.
And it was great.
And we're joking, but it actually is.
It is actually really amazing. I watch it every Christmas Eve.
Yeah. How good are the songs?
Absolutely. So, George C. Scott, though, he's a great presence on screen. Absolutely phenomenal.
It was the way it's hard to describe. It's like he didn't want to be there. God, he was angry, wasn't he? It was a scene, I think a lot of people always take the mick out of this scene, but I think it's good.
Go on.
Where I think a nurse says it's in the file, the information's in the file, and he just goes, it's not in the file.
Oh, to be fair, she was pissing me off as well. I'm pleased he shouted at her.
Yeah.
No, he was a great character.
He's excellent. Such a great actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the start, he's in the pictures with his friend, isn't he?
Yes.
Which I don't know if you can remember at the end of the first Exorcist, that happens as well, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
There's a priest and a cop, and it's the same characters, but obviously they've been recast.
Of course.
And they're just having a chat.
Yeah.
And it lasts for 10 minutes. It's funny. It's sweet.
Their friendship's actually quite special, and I'm pleased they kind of centered on that at the beginning, because it kind of made the scenes later on more relevant.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it got sad very quick.
It did. He got admitted into hospital, didn't he? Yeah. And obviously, that's where the Gemini killer is.
Who is apparently based on the real Zodiac killer, I read this morning. Last minute prep.
But I think I sent you a article yesterday that a killer, a famous worldwide killer, this is actually famous.
Yeah, is it Jeffrey Dahmer?
Jeffrey Dahmer's favourite film is The Exorcist 3.
Kind of makes sense, because he liked decapitating people from what I've read.
Yeah.
That's probably why he liked it. He probably felt he had a lot in common with it.
So again, the conversations with the cop and the priest, they talk about a lot of the killings, don't they?
They do, yeah.
And they're brutal. And you're actually, I've never ever felt that in a film before. You actually squirm without actually seeing anything.
You don't need to see it, do you?
Because they're about a young lad whose head was cut off, and they replaced his head with a statue of Christ, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God, that's horrific.
You don't need to see it, because you can see it in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
The way they describe it is so accurate. Your mind does all the bad stuff for you.
Yeah.
It's so clever.
We've not talked about the Gemini Killer yet.
Oh, right. I have one word. Oscar.
Isn't it?
Why did he not win an Oscar for that?
It's the way he's expressing everything. He's got tears rolling down his face constantly as well.
I'm so pleased it was kind of the first time I'd watched it, because obviously you've got the old priest there in front of you and he transforms into the Gemini Killer.
Yeah.
And it was haunting.
Yeah. And he's in it, I'd say, for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's not in it long, but by God, does he make an impact.
So a lot of people say this and Anthony Hopkins' performance in Silence of the Lambs are quite similar, because I think Anthony Hopkins was only in it for 10 minutes.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Obviously he stole that movie, didn't he?
Oh, completely. I mean, he was absolute brilliance.
And in this is quite similar. I mean, Brad Dourif, who I love anyway. He is Chucky, isn't he? God, yeah, he's in it for 10 minutes.
I mean, they're completely similar. If you had to pick one of those performances, I'm going to really put you on the spot now. Who would you pick?
Probably because I've not seen Silence of the Lambs for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll call for Brad Dourif because I've literally just seen this. But it's a special performance.
Completely. I've got to agree with you. It's Brad Dourif, and I never thought I'd say that. Yeah. Blew me away yesterday when I watched it. I was so sucked into his character. It was mesmerising.
He expresses every word, doesn't he? Every letter of the word. And
Yeah.
And he's scary.
He's terrifying. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in a room on my own with him.
And I think this is why I love this film, this much, because nobody knows about this film.
Yeah.
Obviously, people do. But you talk to horror fans and you go, oh, Exorcist, I've not seen the sequels.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going, no. You feel like you almost don't have to watch sequels, because the first surely is enough.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, you know, it's a 10-star film or whatever, or 5-star. But God, people are missing a treat with this film.
Yeah, definitely. So there's loads of history over this film. So this is wrote by the original writer of the first film.
Yeah.
And he did not want it to be called The Exorcist 3. It was Legion.
Yeah.
As a standalone film. He wrote it as a sequel to The Exorcist because it's got the same characters in, hasn't it?
Of course.
But he didn't want the Exorcist title in there. And obviously, if you work for a company like MGM or Universal, it sells, doesn't it, having The Exorcist there?
It does. But yeah, I kind of like, in a way, I'm pleased it wasn't called Legion. It might have been lost forever.
Maybe you're right.
Because it is an absolute little gem.
It is. It's an hidden gem. We urge everyone to go and watch it.
Completely. Please go watch it.
Outstanding film. Outstanding.
It's so clever. And even now, I after this podcast, I'll probably still sit and think about it.
It ends in the cell, doesn't it? With a little exorcism scene.
Yeah. Just a little mini one.
It's good, though.
It's good. I was kind of scared when they started doing it. I thought, oh, God, please don't go all cheesy and crap. But it didn't. It kind of stayed on theme.
Yeah, I mean, it'd been quite easy to do an Ed Turn, wouldn't it? Or
some pea green vomit. But I think they didn't need it, did they? No. I mean, you know, it wasn't Linda Blair, was it?
What we got was quite horrific, anyway, because the priest, he was like elevated to the ceiling, wasn't he? And he's stuck on, and you could see his skin peeling away.
But I think what made that so impactful is you've seen nothing like that throughout the film. It's all been left to your imagination. And then they get to this scene and they go, do you know what? You're going to see this guy's insides. And he starts peeling off the ceiling. You're like, okay, didn't expect that.
So in the original version of the film, this was not included.
Yeah.
And again, the guys at the film company said, well, it's an exorcist film.
Yeah.
We need an exorcism.
That's why you got a little mini one in there.
Yeah. It's good.
I think it contributes to the story. I liked it.
And our poor priest has died for the second time in 3 films.
Oh, I'm really sad. I was sad about that. I didn't
poor
like
Father Karras.
Father Karras. He was a great character.
Yeah. I think he died shortly after that film as well. I don't think he survived much longer.
Yeah, he did. Bless him.
So there you go.
Yeah. What
a film. I think it was partly ignored because... Have you seen The Exorcist 2?
No, yes, but I can't remember it. I say this a lot, don't I? Yes, I can't remember it.
You've said that about The Exorcist 3, haven't I? I urge you to watch The Exorcist 3. I'm not going to urge you to watch The Exorcist 2.
No, because this Exorcist 3 kind of bypasses that, doesn't it? It's like it never existed.
Well, not only that, it is undoubtedly the worst film of all time.
Okay, I'm not gonna follow that up after The Exorcist 3 then.
If it was on our list, I'm telling you now, it would be at the bottom.
Would it? I'll just stick to The Exorcist 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big fan.
And I think that's why The Exorcist 3 got completely ignored as well, because people saw The Exorcist 2 and gone, what the hell's this shit?
Yeah.
If 2's bad, 3's going
to
be worse.
Well, I was, yesterday I was like, right, I've got to add this film to my collection. It's fucking amazing.
Mm.
And I went on eBay looking for it. It's really expensive to buy. It's really hard to get hold of as well.
Yeah.
On DVD. So I'm going to keep looking, but I need this film in my collection.
I think it was brought out a couple of years ago. They did a direct
re-released.
Yeah, it's on Blu-ray. On Blu-ray.
No, I'm not that modern.
Oh, you need to get a Blu-ray.
I'm old school. I'm surprised I haven't got VHS out, really.
Yeah, it is out on Blu-ray. Yeah, I need to do the same. I need to get over this again.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. The Exorcist 3.
Absolute classic. Banger.
It's a surprise, isn't it?
Oh, I loved it. I really, really loved it.
How are we scoring it then?
Oh, it's got to be high. It's got to. But I'm torn. I don't know. No, it has to be high. I'm going to just go with what's in front of me, and it's 9.2. And I know that's massive high.
Wow, that is incredibly high.
But it is. I know it's incredibly high. I'm justifying why. It's very rare. A film has me thinking about it all day long.
Yeah.
It affected me. It did something to me emotionally and psychologically.
I think I've talked about this film in most podcasts since we started, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I can see why, though.
I've really, really, yeah. It's a special film to me, actually. Yeah,
it really is. It's now one of my favourite films, definitely.
Yeah, it's up there. And then, but it's never in your top 10 list. But if you talk to people about it, they go, oh, yeah, it's not in my top 10. But no one slags it off.
It's just, I honestly think it's because not enough people have seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's an absolute gem.
Worth it alone to see the performance of George C. Scott, Kinderman, and Brad Dourif as well.
Absolute Oscar-worthy performance.
I'm going to go 9.
Okay, that's good.
So we've got an average there of 9.1.
Yeah. Well, that's put that up way up on our charts.
Yeah, who'd have thought it, eh?
But I think that's the right thing to do. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, for next week's episode, Jesus Christ, I'm having nightmares about it already.
Go on.
We are going to be watching the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, fantastic. We're going to be watching Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, we are.
A film that gets slagged off constantly, right?
Not by me. Go on.
Not by me either. Not by me either. I love it. I love the slime. I think because of my age, I remember Ghostbusters 2 a lot more than I do Ghostbusters 1.
Yeah, I remember when that was released. And who doesn't like pink slime?
And I don't know if about you, when you was a kid, I had constantly thought about the opening scene where it's a pram and it gets took over by the slime and it's going down the street. And then the music hits and iconic.
I can't wait to watch it again. It's probably been a couple of years since I watched it. So I remember the painting and being scared of that painting.
Great film.
So yeah,
we'll also talk about all the cartoons. We'll talk about all the video games.
And merchandise. Oh, let's just go Ghostbusters crazy.
We're not going to stop there though.
Yeah.
We're going to go to 2016.
Here we are.
Yeah. Oh,
I know you're not happy about it, aren't you?
Yeah, it's annoying me now that you're actually happy.
I'm happy about it. We're going to have a great debate about that one.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to lose a lot of listeners. No. Yeah, we're going to watch Answer the Call.
Yeah, which we are. Is
the female version of Ghostbusters. I'm not a sexist,
I think,
before you
we
say.
Have to be very broad-minded and look at everything. So
not about women. It's not about women. It's about shitness.
It's a part of the package, and we will have a lovely conversation about it next week, I'm sure.
We will.
We won't get angry with each other.
It's not going to be a lovely conversation.
No, it's not.
And then we're going to be watching Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, we are.
Very exciting.
We're just going to have basically a Ghostbusters fest this week.
We have never done a full film.
Fine. No, we haven't.
Yeah. Well, how long is it going to last, do you reckon?
That'd be fine. 2 hours?
2 hour podcast. We can do that.
Yeah, it'd be fine. We can talk.
Yeah, we can. So there you go.
Nice.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yes, and thank you, Andrew.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. And we'll see you next week. We've got a lot of Ghostbusters to catch up on.
Yeah. Who are you going to call?
Not you, if you watch Answer the Call.
No.
Right, see you later.
See you later.
Bye. Follow us now at Gang Horror at Twitter, or you could check us out on our Facebook page and our Instagram page, the Horror Movie Gang Podcast. Join us.